We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're up to the second chapter, fifth Mishnah. Hu haya omer. This is a very, very important Mishnah. We're continuing with quotes from earlier in the chapter. We had Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who told us a bunch of important insights. He said it's important to balance Torah and work. He said it's important to do things for the sake of heaven when you're dealing with the public. He said it's important to be careful with politicians. They seem like they like you, but in truth, they're not going to stand by you. He said we should do God's will as though it were our own will. And then we shifted to Hillel. Hillel said, don't be different than everyone else. Don't be confident till the day you die. You never know how things will play themselves out. Don't judge your friend till you reach his shoes. You know, Kennedy said that when he heard that people were gauging presidents. John F. Kennedy, he said, no one can gauge this position until they were here. You have no idea what we go through up here. So he doesn't realize. He was preceded by Hillel by a few thousand years. And don't say a secret that you don't want hurt, because ultimately you will get hurt. Don't say, when I have time, I'll learn Torah, because you might never have time if you're waiting for that to happen. And then we move on to our Mishnah, where Hillel gives us a few more pieces of advice. Hu haya omer, Hillel used to say, Ein bur yirei chet. If a person is a bur, he's an empty person. And we're going to see that bur really means land which is fallow, hasn't been worked at all. And that's a very low level of a human being. So that's a person who cannot be fearful of sin. Velo am haaretz chasid. And one who isn't learned cannot be pious. So we said two types of people. One is a boor, the other is an Am Haaretz. We said a boor cannot be fearful of sin, and Am Haaretz cannot be pious. Okay? Now let's see, what are we talking about here? As a footnote, the term Am Haaretz, so that means the nation of the land, the common folk. There actually are two approaches among the commentaries. What are we saying when we call someone an Am Haaretz? So in modern Orthodox Hebrew, Am Haaretz means he doesn't know anything, right? And that's how they use the term Am Haaretz today. He's not learned. He's just a common person. But in fact, there's a big machlokas. What is the word Am Haaretz? What's it coming to connote? The Rambam learns that Am Haaretz is showing respect. It's an indication this is someone who is not a boor. A boor is someone who's done nothing for the world. He's like land that's fallow. Nothing's been done with it. And Am Haaretz is stressing that he's at least settling the land. He's being productive with life. He might not be learned, but Am Haaretz is actually stressing his strong point, that he's settling the land.
Sounds like someone who's too immersed in physicality, materialism. Not almost like the guy who was burnt in the field. There's a positive to it. Obviously, I have to go back in the cave and learn that, but it's... It seems that way, materialism, the land.
Rambam says we're stressing the positive.
Yeah.
The Rambam saying Am Haaretz, in Mishnah terminology, is stressing this is a person who's productive.
No, you was just your first example. Nobody says, I want my kid to be an Am Haaretz today.
Yeah, I'm saying today it's used differently.
Right.
Yes.
But conversely, back in first and second couple of times, any Israeli that was building the land, they were performing a big mitzvah. Even today, any Jew that's building the land is considered a big mitzvah. Right. So maybe back then they would have seen anyone who is working the land and building the land and settling the land as an Am Haaretz who's really contributing to it.
Okay, so the term Am Haaretz, I didn't know we were going to go into it that much. But the truth is that the term Am Haaretz has about five or six meanings. Am Haaretz, if we're analyzing the etymology of the word, so then what the Rambam says is very important. But in context, Am Haaretz is always to connote he's not more than that. Meaning you have about five different types of Am Haaretz, and each one is an indication that of what he's not. So if someone is illiterate, he can be called an Am Haaretz. If someone doesn't know Kriyat Shema, he can be called an Am Haaretz. If someone doesn't know how to be modest when he goes to the bathroom, he can be called an Am Haaretz. If someone doesn't know the laws of tithing, And so when he buys food or produces food, you cannot be certain that he took off the necessary tithe, etc., that the food is kosher, he can be called an Am Haaretz. If someone has not learned the laws of purity, so you cannot trust him that when he's coming to the temple or when he's coming to your house, he's really ensured that his vessels are pure, he's called an Am Haaretz. When you want to make a Zimun, and you need someone who's going to join your blessing, you need three people to unite for a blessing, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he can't join. He doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to bench. So then he can be referred to as an Am Haaretz. So the term Am Haaretz appears throughout the Shas, and in different places, in the context of different places, it has different meanings, and it's always an indication of what he's not. The Rambam, very interestingly, the Rambam over here points out that although the context is always and almost always an indication of what he's not, the real etymology of the word is coming to tell you what he is. He's someone who is. We're stressing the positive. That's what's nice in the Rambam's approach here. But in context, as you encounter it throughout the Shas, you'll see that it's always, in context, it's always telling you as opposed to the guy who knows, the guy who is educated, etc. So that's why the way we use it today is actually correct. But it's still nice to notice that I'm stressing what he does have.
And it's not a boor.
And it's not a boor, right.
It's big, a boor. It almost blends into, what's the captured baby, the term in Hebrew?
Tinok shenishma.
But it's almost like, you see an Amharic, you don't generally think of someone, could be, but who was given a quality education and every opportunity. Again, from a layman's point of view, it's associated with someone, you know, who was a water carrier or was a peasant who wasn't given, but he was within Judaism as opposed to captured baby who barely knew he was Jewish, you know, but also was going to be generally an Amharic, but can be a brilliant physician.
I'll tell you, I don't know, everyone I've seen who discusses it, doesn't really touch on another point, which really has been bugging me for many years. The term Amharic appears in the Torah. The Torah, a few weeks ago, we read it, describes someone who gives his son to the Molech, to the idol worship of Molech. And it says, Am Haaretz Yirgemuhu Ba'oven. The people of the land will stone him. This guy who murdered his baby in the name of idol worship gets stoned by the people. And there the Torah uses the term Am Haaretz. Now, there's nothing derogatory about the term in the Torah. So I haven't seen anyone who discusses the correlation between the way Chazal used the term Am Haaretz and the way the Torah uses the term Am Haaretz. That's a question that still bugs me. When we reach the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avot, we will see that that chapter begins with Shanu Chachamim Bilshon HaMishnah. Our rabbis used the Hebrew of the Mishnah, which is different than the Hebrew of Tanakh. So it could very well be that Am Haaretz in Tanakh literature is not the same as Am Haaretz in Tanakh.
Referring, you used that just example so clear, the person who gave his sacrifice to son to Moloch, he's referring
no,
to...
No, the people Am Haaretz, who stone him. It says the masses will stone him. Am Haaretz Yirgemu Ba'avin. I don't know. I don't know if there's a connection.
Unwashed, you know, in English you would say. It's common folk.
I don't know. Akiva, you wanted something?
Yeah, I was only going to point out something. You pointed out that they're used somewhat derogatively.
Okay.
Shas.
Uriel, yeah.
But is it true that the Purushim, they were like an urban movement, and people that weren't familiar with, you know, with the oral Torah and stuff were like, instead like country bumpkins, that's what the Amharites were.
I have to think about that. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I don't know of anyone who says that, but I have to think about it. Because we find in the Shas that the Talmidei Chachamim also worked the land. So that I'm saying you find many examples of that. So it doesn't sound right. But I want to think about it. I never heard that train of thought.
people still working the land, is, you know, it could be a Jeffersonian planter who works the land, and you could be a hillbilly from wherever. So country bumpkin doesn't imply everyone who works the land. It more implies an ignorant person who works the land, I think, because, as you point out, in those times, almost everybody had a connection to the land, I would think.
Right, right. So I don't, it does not sound right. But I want to think about it. I never heard that interpretation. Okay, so the Rabbeinu Yonah writes as follows. Habur hu rek en bo lo Torah ve lo mitzvot ve lo derech eretz bemidot tovot. The word bur is someone who's empty. He doesn't have Torah, he doesn't do mitzvos, and he doesn't know even common etiquette. He doesn't have any basic common traits, good traits. Uve targum, and in the targum, when the Egyptians come to Joseph and say, help us out here, you know, there's a famine, and we've given you everything we own, so give us some kind of land, let's make some kind of deal, sharecropper deal, so the land does not remain fallow, empty, destroyed. They say, Veha adama lo teisham. And the translation of lo teisham, the land should not lo tavur, should not remain desolate. So the word bur means to be desolate, with no vegetation, with no production, just empty, fallow land. So the Mishnah didn't have to say, if you're one who's a boor, who's got nothing, he can't be pious. The Mishnah is saying he can't even be fearful of sin. He's so empty. You don't have to worry about his piety. He can't even be careful from the average sin because he doesn't have the most basic etiquette. You guys know why we study Sefer Amidot? About 3-4 years ago, we had a student in the Mahon who was British. And he was very bothered that people would just walk through class in the middle of class. And he said, you know, I could be sitting listening to class and the guy behind me is doing this in my ear all the time. And he says to me, people have to learn basic etiquette. How to be a human being. What are you guys doing teaching us Torah when there's so many basic things here? at the time I said to him, you have to understand, people are coming from different places. You know, in his day we had a student here who walked into the office once and said, I'm here 3 weeks. It's the first 3 weeks in my life I haven't beaten someone up. And I said, you know, different people are coming from different places. It's not fair to expect them to have certain etiquette. And he put me in my spot. He said to me, I was orphaned at age 3 or 5. And then my stepfather kicked me out of the house. And then I grew up on the streets. And until I was 21, I didn't have a set bed to sleep in. And I still learned to be a decent human being, so I don't buy it. So he didn't let me get away with anything I said. And at that point, I felt cornered. You know, the guy tells me how he grew up on the streets, and he still learned to be, you know, basic etiquette. So, you know, I said to him, you know, it's all about what your parents teach you. And he says, I didn't have parents to teach me. And it's not that way. You can still be a decent human being. It has nothing to do with Torah. There's a basic level a person has to attain, and that's their responsibility, and you got to teach that first. Okay, so a guy tells you that, what am I supposed to say? So I said, you won. I went and took out a Sefer Amidot, and that's when we started learning Sefer Amidot. That's how the class started 3 or 4 years ago. So that's his claim. His claim is you can't be a boor. He's saying, you know, you can't. So Torah is a level to grow it. But you need a basic level. You need a basic level of basic decency towards other people. Yes. David, you wanted something?
I was just saying maybe you could have told him that you're making the assumption that everybody's made of the same stuff as you.
I told him, you know, good for you. You're very impressive, you know, that not everyone's accomplished like you. But he wasn't coming because of an idealistic sense. He was coming because it ticked him off to sit in class and have people doing annoying things next to him. So he had a rightful claim. Okay, we ended up benefiting. We're learning Sefer Amidot. Amal Am Haaretz, Morav Im Abriyot B'Midot Chashuvot. When we speak about an Am Haaretz, that's someone who has good traits. He's he's involved with people. And there are some things which he's got right. He has some attitudes which are correct. He knows how to be careful, not to do things that are overtly, obviously wrong. And he can try to be relatively righteous. And if you tell him, you know, a Jew is supposed to do this, so he can do that. You tell him you buy something that says kosher, so fine, he can do that. He can maintain a basic level. If he can run a farm, if he can run his business, then he can also maintain a basic level of Judaism. If you got that much, you can do it. And notice, you got to have that much, right? Achel malot hachasidut lo yochal lehasig. But if we're talking about being pious, a chasid, you can't do that. That's not enough. Ki im gadol b'torah. You want to be pious, you got to learn Torah. There's no way to develop piety without Torah. You can be righteous, you can do what's right, but you want to be pious, you need Torah. And this blends itself with what we've been learning in the Chazon Ish, that it's not enough to have good intentions. You got to do what's right. Very hard. Shehi midah shetzichat taharat lev v'zachut hanefesh. You want to be pious, that requires a pure heart. It requires purification of the soul. V'zein biyado chokhma latoto min hakav emtzai el hakatzeh acharon sheyaseh lifnei meshurat hadin. Now this guy hasn't been educated enough to be able to shift to do beyond the call of duty. There's a level, to be a chassid means you go above and beyond the call of duty. And you want to get there, you need to learn. You have to have understanding. The more one learns, the more one can do that. V'al zeh nikra ma'aretz, mipnei shu'im ahim b'derech eretz, v'lefi shirov bnei ha'olam kmoto. So the Rabbeinu Yonah tells us two reasons why he's called an Am Haaretz. Number one, because at least he's got the Derech Eretz. He's got the basic knowledge of how to interact with people properly. But then he comes to what Aviel was hinting to earlier. He says, because most of the world's like him. Am Haaretz is a reference to the common folk. And being that the average person, that's where he's holding. He can run his business. He can do things decently. He hasn't learned enough to be extra pious. So that's why we call it an Am Haaretz. For two reasons. One, because he's got their hearts. Two, it's an indication of something that's common. That's where the average person is holding. Yes?
Other than the characteristics which you already described, what distinguishes an individual from going on the derech of becoming an Am Haaretz or becoming going on the derech for becoming a chassid? Because you say it's not everyone who can become a chassid. You need to learn, and the way to do it is to learn Torah. Indicating everything that means. But you have one person, how is he supposed to know which derech to go by? How is he supposed to be daunted from becoming a chassid? So he's like, alright, I'll be an Am Haaretz because it's too hard to learn Torah. Or is he supposed to at least try to learn Torah and then realize, Gemara is not for me, I'll just try to live my life as a decent human being, as an Am Haaretz? Or is it just not even an idea in his head? Are we supposed to take the regular people who might not even be Am Haaretz to begin with, they might just be more brutish, whatever, but then say, you know, listen, you gotta be a good person, you gotta be an Am Haaretz. You know, what causes one person to go one way or the other?
Okay, so let's work our way up, okay? Derech Eretz kadma la Torah. We know that the first thing is a person has to have a level of decency before he approaches Torah. There has to be a basic decency. A guy can't walk in and think he's going to succeed in Torah when at night he's stealing his roommate's stuff, when by day he's completely inconsiderate of other people. There's a basic decency that has to be there, and then you can approach Torah. So that's number one. Now, a person has that basic decency, he can and should approach Torah. Once he has that basic decency, he's no longer a boor, right? Now he can be a yirei chet, one who's fearful of sin. All he has to do is learn. So, number one, we have to learn what a Jew is supposed to do. So that, you have all these shortcut books. You have the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You have Rabbi Lau's book of what it is to be a Jew. You have Sefer HaTodah, the book of our heritage. You have Machon Meir. You learn. What am I supposed to do? Before we started learning the laws of Shabbos, you thought, it's perfectly okay when you finish your apple to throw the core in the yard and maybe grow an apple tree. And now you know you can't do that. So that's planting on Shabbos. Okay, so you didn't know. Now you know. So once you cross stage one, you're not a boor. You have basic decency. You enter stage two, which is to be yirei chet, fearful of sin. And then you just got to learn what's permitted and what's prohibited. So that's step two. Now, what happens is there's a temptation. A person doesn't know that much, but he wants to be a chassid. He wants to be pious. So here the Mishnah comes and warns a person. Don't think that it's enough to desire to be pious. You want to be pious, you got to learn. Lo amaretz chassid. One who's not learned will not succeed in being pious. Everyone should learn. Everyone should also realize that striving for piety without learning can really backfire. Oh, we should all strive for piety, but we have to realize the way to get there is through learning. You have many examples of that. A guy comes home to his parents and they're going out on a family trip, and his father says, look, all my friends from work are going to be there. Do you mind wearing a baseball cap over your yarmulke? I don't need everyone looking at you and saying, what a weird son he has, he wears a yarmulke. Do you mind wearing a baseball cap? And the guy says, I'm a from Jew, I'm wearing my yarmulke. Who says that's a right response? He means it in the name of piety. I'm not covering my yarmulke. But there's no problem, halachically, with wearing a baseball cap over his yarmulke. So here he is trying to be pious, and he's trampling over his father's feelings in the name of piety. Now, the examples here are rampant. You know, you can imagine how often these questions really come up, where there are things that a person does with the best intentions, but you had a guy who was waking up for Vatikin every morning and waking up his whole room and destroying their day. And he said, but I want to get up and daven early. That's great. And then he said, we convinced him he should get a silent alarm clock. He was on the top bunk, and he learned you're not supposed to walk 4 feet without washing your hands. So he's getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he finally figured out how to do it without waking everyone. And he skips down and washes his hands, splashes the water right near his friend's face on the lower bunk. Now, you come to the guy and you say, hey, it's not fair. The guy's sleeping. And he says, you're right, but you're not supposed to walk 4 feet without washing your hands. So I don't have a choice in the name of piety. And if my friend were only half as pious as I am, then he'd be okay with it. Ah, but that's not right. You don't have a right to do that to your friend. And the examples keep coming up in life. People make mistakes in the name of piety. So the Mishnah tells you, yes, everyone should aspire to be pious, but don't think you're going to get there without learning. And the examples keep repeating themselves. It's a, you know, a person says, I'm only going to eat this heksher. And then his parents come to visit, or relatives come to visit, or someone who he's trying to educate or whatever, and there's a good reason to be lenient in this case. You know, it's not that we're telling a person to eat non-kosher. We're saying, eat kosher, so it's not the top hechsher. But the guy says, no, I'm sticking to my guns. Wait a second, but I want to be pious. Why should I forgo it? Are we telling him to forgo kashrut, or are we telling him that that's not piety? This is the stress is incorrect. So there are many examples of this, where a person intends to be pious, but he's actually shooting himself in the foot. Again, many examples, like the guy who would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to prepare for davening and shave with a razor. Now, he meant to come to davening clean shaven in honor of God. Why, he didn't know. So, okay, you got to learn. True story here in the Machon. He'd get up early every morning. He was from the military. He'd get up and get everything ready until one day someone happened to be up with him at 4 o'clock in the morning and sees him in the shower with his razor. Tells him, you're such a fake. You're such a fake. Here you are walking around so pious, davening along, Shmoneh Esrei, shaving with a razor. And the guy looks at him stunned. He had no clue. He had no clue what he was doing was wrong. Okay. The examples are a dime a dozen. You have them all the time. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. Everyone should aspire to be pious, but you have to learn to get there. The desire to get there alone is not going to get you there. Lo amaretz chassid. When Yiftach murdered his daughter, he did it in the name of God. He said, I promised God the first thing that greets me when it comes out, when I come back from war, I will offer as a sacrifice before God. What can I do? My daughter came. So Obviously, I owe it to God. So in the name of piety, he murders his daughter. And that's how far it can go. In the name of piety, people are capable of doing the most obscene things. And that's what the Mishnah is warning us. Everyone should strive for piety, but we have to realize the way to get there is by learning. Yes?
Back to you see it today, Hamas, all kinds of people think they're serving God.
Okay, so that's, we learned the first message of Hillel. The next message, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will learn next week, Lo ha'bayshan lamed. If you're too embarrassed, you're never going to learn. You got to be able to ask questions in order to learn. Ve'lo ha'kaptan melamed. And if a person's too strict, you can't teach anyone. People won't learn anything if they're too scared of you. So that we will expand on Be'ezrat Hashem next week.